The building where once we made love is gone. May 21st to May 25th, 2010. The building where we once made love is gone. Removed, as if in a dream, by the morning winds. My home for 5 years, filled with every imagination and the fruits of writing, and yours for about 5 exploratory nights, has been torn down and carted away. Even the epithet, a mound of rubble overgrown with thorns, is denied to it. When I return to this home a third time, after exile and detainment in my homeland, I was glad to return to its decrepit familiarity, to the oft-neglected stairwells, veneered in corrosive dust ash, blown in by the winds, from every corner of the troubled city. Dust was nature's graffiti, spoken out against the people's ceaseless encroachments. It lay on every stair tread, huddled for weeks on end in cracks and in corners, was rubbed into the paint unlovingly, jumped off the window ledges, came in through the rust-frozen, never-closed windows, or made soft grinding sounds underfoot. I came back to the old building, to the familiar feelings and sounds of passing life, but not to the same rooms where we were. Occasionally, I went past the old door, then stopped, alone, silent, and remembering, to think of you and me and of us then, and how now we are growing older in new walks of life in this city. Alone in a stairwell once my own, but now the roosting path of strangers who could come up or down at any moment to question my lingering, the reason for being there, even my very existence. Standing stock still, I think back to the earlier times when you came to me. The days were long and arduous, overburdened with counterfeit love, genuine worries, and much in between. I came home to the apartment, shuffling under a load of books and bags, moving slowly in a dust-glazed and frozen landscape. The only other motion, sign of life, came from dried-up leaves, off-white plastic bags, or insignificant flecks of trash, toyed by wind eddies. Somehow, the dust made it inside, into the stairwell, and even into my rooms. The further inside I went, the finer and more pervasive became the accusing dust. A constant stream of air blew inside, under the door, though the windows were taped. Thus, evening wore on into night, even though you came softly, climbing stairs with carefully restrained steps. I knew your approach. I could feel it. There was confidence in those steps, along with resolution in all you chose to do. I regret not joining fully in what you offered, nor sharing back in like measure. Now, that has passed by, leaving once hot memories to rest, smothered under dust. Perhaps it is better that way, for the dusty tomb of impotent memories is silent, and only condemns when sought after diligently. Therefore, my fading memories of us cause little harm, only the wish I could have lived more, partaken of more, plunged myself into the hot thunderstorms offered so willingly. Now it all lies useless, as I feel the exhausted weight of spent drafts receding back down the empty stairwell. My last sojourn in the decrepit building, lasting about 3 months, was barren. Already condemned by the forces of progress, forces insatiably devouring the city, the whole building lapsed further into neglect. 12-month dust covered everything, all the former trappings of habitation, all the rooms someone had once called home. Before my arrival, it was sterile and secluded, save for brief evenings of raucous fun, glaring ceiling lights, plastic leather sofas, loud music, and specially flown-in vodka. Then he left, taking all, save a few enigmatic business cards in a drawer, a bottle cap from Ashgabat, meaningless scraps of paper, and complete stillness. Over the next year, the fine dust fell, settling over everything, even in the drawers. Then I came and stepped into the rooms, as into an inner tomb, and took up residence. Only the area around my bed for my feet, then one writing table, were dusted off. Everything else remained under its dust, for I wanted no association with life's trappings, or the people who came in life's wake. Besides, the invisible leaders, the oft disembodied voices of authorities, said the building would be torn down. In time, new rooms would be provided for me. At that time, the only certainty was dust. Everything else refused any assurance. Even the right to exist here, to live amidst the throngs of discontented and restless people, was withheld for a season. The dust was settled. Having been sifted by the wind, blown, injected into every corner, it rested. I could not rest, having been blown out of this land, sometimes tormented in my own land for 3 years, then brought back to where I had started, the old building slated for destruction. Was it for 5 nights that I became like dust, blown unceasingly through Earth's dominions and the soul's inner cosmos? I will never, never condemn you for this, for you were generous to me, way beyond the normal, mundane measure of humanity. I hope you live in a green world, with young trees around you and unseen songbirds in the branches. As for me, it is the stillness of long-settled dust on the floor, on the tables, that calms me. In time, the invisible voices called to all those who lived in the old building, "Pack up and move." We did, as best we could. Work crews came to haul the heavy furniture to my new home, a new start. With the violence of grave robbers, but how could they know? For them, it was just another moving job. They tore down the carefully sealed curtains and prized open the windows. Light and fresh air and the pure, unfettered voices of children playing outside flowed instantly into the rooms and changed what they had been forever. I looked around the new emptiness for one last time, but it now had no more significance. The old security of old dust, of silence, of tomb's seclusion was gone. It was no longer home. The new home was in another building, 6 floors up, but even there, the upper tips of the branches swayed and clicked against the windows, and even there, the dust came in as it could. Dust remained nature's accusing finger, pointed against the people's unceasing recklessness. Sometimes I carried my furniture myself from the old home to the new one. While laboring thus, one of the first harbingers of grace came to me. She carried some boxes along with her friends, gave me two oranges, then left. For a long time, the old building stood by itself, condemned and ignored by all who passed by. The rooms of the other apartments grew dark and silent, one by one, and their windows dirtier. I could have come to visit, to see the building degrade stage by stage, to watch the scrap iron scavengers at work, but I did not want to see my home of 5 years thus overthrown. It was the indispensable container of my life, the bowl holding 1,000 memories. So, I found ready excuses to conduct life elsewhere, and did not visit or look. However, my mind, thoughts, and ready imagination often returned to the old building, especially when the demolition machines passed by under my window one evening. Winter yielded to spring very slowly. Its fingers had to be prized away from the new year as those of a frozen corpse. With ephemeral spring came the wind and dust storms, sowing a palpably poisonous feeling of dread and foreboding, something one could not explain. Even inside, the restlessness and violence without could be felt, and not feeling it directly, one imagined it blowing the dust of anxiety within one's soul, darkness having fallen. At least twice that year, the wind was the unseen yet tangible expression of long latent, now blossoming turmoil in the hearts of the city's discontented. This night was the second unseen assault. For several minutes, I stood in my new balcony, staring passively out into the darkness, beyond the never-washed window glass. The wind scoured the city of anything loose, able to rise up into the air, the clean and the unclean, catkins from the trees, and all manner of trash, and brought it elsewhere. Unseen particles and the tips of the swaying branches clicked and knocked against the window panes, scratching the glass, yet sounding like rusty door hinges in staccato. I retreated deeper into the apartment and closed all doors. The next morning, I went outside. Farthing-sized wafers of sycamore, then in season, lay piled in heaps and windrows where the buildings had forced the night storm to release them. Already, the workers were shoveling them into carts, as if to remove evidence. The sycamore wafers, dust, and flecks of trash lay mingled together, yet spoke as one, condemned the people's unremitting depredations. Those that escaped the shovel blew around the courtyard, like children's play driven too far into insanity. Rising and falling so many times, spitting into the faces of those too careless to step aside, lodging into their hair, debunking the vein of their beauty, nature's tokens flung out their final message. At about this time, I went to the old building to see what had happened to it. In 2 weeks or less, the old building, with its 50-odd apartments, had gone. Two other buildings had also been removed. Above ground level, nothing remained, not even walls, nothing save a slightly different pattern of rubble, betraying the faintest outline of a long rectangle. Nearby, over the ruins of the other buildings, an excavator loaded brick rubble into a large dump truck. Soon, there would be nothing left, nothing save an empty space, sharing no story. All I take away, safe in the bowl of memory, is the recollection of those 5 nights, sultry, violent thunderstorms, as in Africa, with the rain beating violently on the roof, an old tin roof that amplifies sounds and drives out every other competitive emotion. You were the only truly living thing entering the building, which briefly warmed my heart, encouraged it to live. Now, the sanctuary of curtained-in rooms, silent as the tomb, and coated everywhere with sleeping dust, is forever removed. I leave for the last time the demolition site, my nose full of plaster dust, and with it, the sharp awareness of fresh orange peel.